Today on Focal Point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
One of the most profound ways that I stay in touch with people, and I say, God, I love those people, I care, I wonder what's going on in their life today, I know they're struggling, or I know they're doing well, is I pray. Prayer list, you got one? I know people that are struggling, I can pray right now. God help me. I know you're there, and I know you care. Do something in their lives. What a privilege we have to extend our concern through that medium of prayer.
Think of prayer as a ministry. One of the most effective things you can do for another person is pray for them. And yet, because it's so simple, sometimes it's hard to believe prayer can make any difference. Well, today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares is continuing a message we started yesterday, challenging us to expand our ministry by opening our hearts to more people. And one of the best ways to make room? Lift them up in prayer. Mike titled this message, More Ministry Beyond Your Inner Circle.
I'd like you to turn to Colossians 2, where God shows us how effective ministry takes place and what it looks like. The Apostle Paul begins with a paradoxical statement, and it may not be obvious on the surface, but you need to recognize how bizarre this statement is. Coming up, verse 1, chapter 2. Are you ready? Look at it. The Apostle Paul says this, I want you to know how much I am struggling. Circle the word struggling. We've already seen a cognate word, a first cousin of this, in the bottom of chapter 1, I said it was the word agonizomai. We get the English word agony from it. It is that intensive labor, the kind of labor that you might give to someone who you dearly loved, someone close, maybe a spouse or a child. You might give yourself with that level of intensity. Paul plucks out of his vocabulary one of the most powerful words he could possibly use, and he says, I'm agonizing for you. You need to realize. But here comes the paradox. Look at it. And for all those at Laodicea, and for all those who have not met me personally. That's the weird part. You see, the Apostle Paul says that real ministry, effective ministry, is always including and expanding the circle to where real, intensive, sacrificial ministry goes out to new faces, new people, new names, and it's constantly expanding. And that is something that we're not used to. It is somewhat of a paradox. Put it down this way, number one on your outline, if you're taking notes. Extend your, keyword, compassion. Extend it further. Now, we naturally have compassion for some people. Well, there are some selfish people, I suppose, that don't care about anybody but themselves, but most of us here, right? We got some people in our lives we say, I care about more than myself. They're the kind of people I would agonize for. I would go through tough times for. I mean, I would sacrifice for them. I really care about them. There's such an identification that when they rejoice, I naturally rejoice. I can't watch my kid really have a good belly laugh without me kind of welling up a little bit because there's that connection there. I love that kid. See, and when my wife is hurting, I cannot help but hurt because my compassion extends around those people just naturally. Now, what I'm telling you is that effective ministry always blows the borders off of that and sets that compassion around more and more people. Paul's doing it to people he hasn't even met, and he's agonizing for them. He's giving his life for them, and he says, I don't even know you guys. And then he says something else, and we don't have time to parse it and tear it apart, and I wish we could. It could be an 8-week series, but today I just want to show you in context what's happening. Verses 2 through 4, Colossians 2. He starts to get into details, and they're all rich details, and again, I apologize for not tearing them apart, but the idea here is that you need to see that there's a multifaceted concern for these people. He says this, my purpose is that they may be encouraged in heart. Oh, I want their hearts encouraged. Oh, I want them encouraged. I don't want them discouraged. I want their hearts, and I want them united in love. Oh, I just want them to be the adhesive of love to go around these people. Man, I really want them united in love. Oh, God, I want them to have the full riches, middle of verse 2, of the complete understanding, that kind of stuff that comes from knowing the mystery of God, namely Christ. Man, I want them to really know Christ. You know, if they did that, they'd have all those treasures. They'd be wise people, treasures of wisdom. They'd have all that those treasures of knowledge. Oh, God, I hope that they get that. I hope these people become wise. I hope they grow in their knowledge. Verse 4, I don't want them to be deceived. I tell you this so that no one may deceive you. Man, I know there's people out there that are going to dupe them. They're going to lead them astray. They're going to get them hung up on the wrong issues. Oh, I pray they won't get deceived. Now, this is not just Paul going, oh, God bless them. Yeah, I care about them. Bless them. Boop. Okay, next. No, he cares about details. That's the point. Those are great details. They're worth preaching. But today, let's just at least say, you know what? He cares about the details. When he, and here's the problem. Some of us think, if I extend my concern, then I can't be concerned with details. If I can extend my compassion, I can't get involved in the depths of people's lives, but you can. Because if you really do extend your compassion, you know what happens? You automatically care about the life. And what happens is you need to intentionally recognize that I'm deepening my concern. See? Number two on your outline. We're not only to extend our compassion, but we should deepen our concern, which means I do really care about what's going on in your life. And it's not just, hey, I'd like you to have a good life. The extent to which I care about people that my heart encompasses, like my children, who you marry, what you grew up to be like, if you're healthy today, if you have a cough or a sniffle, that kind of detail, that interest in the well-being of my children needs to be the kind of interest in detail that I have in people's life, which means how's it going today for you? I know you're struggling. Are you okay? I really care. It's not this general, oh, I hope God bless you. I mean, God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. We hear a lot of that in the church. Now, I'm not bashing that phrase. It's a biblical phrase. But all I'm saying is, do we care about the details of people's lives? It has amazed me what God can do in expanding my heart to care for more people. 10 years ago, I never thought I could care for as many people in my heart as I do. Now, I know I can't care for every single person, but the people that God keeps expanding, it's like, I do care. And it hurts when they hurt. And I rejoice when they rejoice. If you extend your compassion, you'll recognize that it is not something you can do halfway. The depth of that interest will go all the way. Jesus told a story to a guy who said to Christ, you know, who should I be concerned about? He framed the question this way, who is my neighbor? But what he said was, who should I really care about? I mean, whose life should I get involved in? And Jesus tells a story. You know the story. About a guy gets beat up on a road on the way to Jericho, and he's laying there by the side of the road, beaten. He needs some help. He's got some needs. And in this case, any one of the people that passes him could help. But the thing is, there are a lot of people passing by the need, and they say, I got reasons not to get involved. And their compassion does not extend to one more person, and their concern is shallow. Oh, I hope God sends, I hope they feel better. I hope, and these people, in their shallow compassion and shallow concern, they walk right by. You know the story. On the other side of the road, a lot. Here are people with excuses to not get involved, and then the star of the story shows up. And he had a real reason for not getting involved, because Samaritans and Jews, it is socially uncouth. You can risk a lot. You might get kicked out of Samaria if you start interacting with a Jew. And this Samaritan gets involved, and I love what Jesus does with the story. What does he do? He talks about detail. What does he do? He bandages the wounds, puts him on his donkey, gives him something to drink, takes him to the hotel, says, hey, you know, put him up for a few nights. Here's some money out of my own money bag. And I'm telling you what, if he racks up a bill, I'll pay it on my way back. That is intense involvement. And Jesus says, here's a guy who has reasons not to get involved, but compassion compels him to get involved. Tell you what, man, this is going to cost you. I recognize that. It is not impossible, and you might have bought that already. Okay, I guess I could care for a few more people, but it is going to be hard. And it will cost you time. It'll cost you effort. I mean, I'm not hiding that. You do ministry, do it effectively, and you start including more people, it's going to cost. I'm too tired. We can have a lot of excuses for not getting involved. I know you're thinking it's not physically possible. I mean, I say that to myself all the time, but you know what? God meets you there. When you step out, I mean, when you say, I'll do it, I'll pay that if he racks up a bill, you know, oh, I can't afford that. You know what? God will let you afford it. And when you say, I don't have the energy, you know what? God meets you there, and you do it. And God gives you the, he pushes you beyond your natural abilities. And you know what happens? God gets work done. God builds his church. Got to recognize God's going to pull the borders of your ministry, and he's going to pull it further and further. Paul says one more thing. He's interested in all the details, not just a God bless me thing. I realize that is a challenge for us, a deep concern, a real concern. But one of the most interesting things he says is in verse number 5, Colossians 2:5. Now, some of you have read this statement before. It's in a lot of Paul's epistles, and he does reiterate this in different ways. But this is an idiomatic statement, a Jewish concept where he is saying something that is profound about the difference between where he is and where his heart is. He's saying, my heart extends to you. Here's how he puts it, verse 5. For though I am absent from you in body, I'm not there, I am present with you in spirit. Matter of fact, so much so that I delight when I get news and I hear and I know things are going well, I delight to see how orderly you are and how firm your faith is in Christ. Oh, I'm there with you. I know that real compassion that extends to people and deep concern that goes out to their needs will always result in this kind of attitude. I mean, I think you've experienced. Have you ever had your body in one place and your heart somewhere else? Has that ever happened for you? I was 17 years old. My folks had required the boys to go to Bible school. Thank you very much. So I got packed up against my will, and I was sent to downtown Chicago to the Bible penitentiary to do my time at the Bible school. Last thing I wanted to do. Well, I was dropped off there. I'll never forget it. My folks drove me there, right? I mean, picture that, you know, like 3 days. We get to Chicago, downtown Chicago, and they stay all of, what, an hour maybe, right? We unpack my stuff, throw it in the dorm room. We go to McDonald's. We get a burger. We get back to the parking lot, and they get in that van. I will never forget it, and they start driving south on Wells Street toward the 290, and I'm standing there in the gutter of Wells Street watching this van with my heart in it go. I'd left everything. My girlfriend, who's now my wife, my school, my friends, the beach. I'd left everything in Southern California, and my parents were now driving away. And here I was sniffling like a big, you know, 17-year-old baby. And off they went. Didn't know a soul there at that school. And I experienced what Paul is trying to express to us. My body was in Chicago. Do you think my heart was there? Oh, my goodness. Man, I'd call every day. My phone bill went through the roof. Carlin, how's it going? What'd you have for breakfast? What'd you do after breakfast? What'd you do for lunch? What'd you do that? Who'd you? You know, it's like I didn't care about Chicago. My heart was in Southern California. All I cared about was going on here. And Paul says that's what it's like when you really extend your concern for people. Your heart will be with them. And when they go into their trial at work, man, you'll be there. And when they have their struggle in their marriage, you'll feel it. And when there's something going on that's really good and they're growing, you'll rejoice with them. Your heart will be there. And when you're separated by space, man, it's going to hurt. Let me show you one more passage, 1 Thess chapter 2. There's some great passages in 1 Thess 2. I mean, one of them about the kind of concern that's like a mother for her children. That's a good statement. But look at this statement, because it's an interesting Greek word that is used here. Only time it shows up in the New Testament. 1 Thess 2:17. He says, brothers, but brothers. Here's another one we don't translate very well, because I don't know why, but here it comes. When we were, how's it translated there? Torn away from you. That word only appears once in the Bible. There are some cognate words, but the word is to be orphaned. He says, we were orphaned when we were torn away from you for a short time. In person, here's the same kind of thing that Paul always says, in person but not in thought. NIV says thought, the Greek word is cardia, the heart. My heart was there with you. I was here, but my heart was there. You know what happens when that takes place? The next phrase. Out of our intense longing, we made every effort to see you. You know what happens when you really put your heart out there? When your compassion extends to more people than just your immediate family and a few people, tight old friends, and you start putting your heart out there and deepening your concern for people? Man, you are going to want to be with them. I put it this way, number three on your outline. Not only will you extend our compassion, and number two, deepen our concern, but number three, we've got to maintain our connection. That connection, Paul feels it all the time, and because he feels it, he's always acting on it. If he can be there, he's going to be there. I mean, he's going to be there if there's any way. In the next verse, it's only Satan that ended up through his plans and thwarting his plans. That's the only thing, the only reason he couldn't get there. But I mean, he wanted to be, and that's what happens. If you put your heart around some people, you're going to be away from home another night of the week. I'm sorry, it's just the way it's going to work, because you're going to want to be with those people. Your home, you're going to have more people in your home. That's right. More of your budget and your money and your house is going to go to things where you're interacting with people, because those people, your heart's going to be with them, and you're going to make every effort to be with those folks. And by the way, let's go back to Colossians and see in the bottom of the book, chapter 4, how this is lived out. If Paul cannot be there, look at what he does. Colossians chapter 4, if he can't be there, look at verse 7. Are you there? Colossians 4:7. He says, Tychicus will tell you the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. Verse 8, I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances. Now here's a summary of Colossians 2 through 4, and that he may encourage your hearts. Now I can't be there, but I'm sending him. Verse 9, and he is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother who is one of you. They will tell you everything is happening here. He says, if I can't be there, I'm going to get somebody there. And that's what's going to happen as people and numbers grow and ministries grow. You're going to be constantly trying to, if you can't meet those needs, get people enlisted to meet the needs. And Paul, he's so connected that if he can't be there, he's trying to get people there. And he takes faithful people like Tychicus and Onesimus, and he says, guys, you go. These are faithful brothers, and they'll help. And right now, in a growing church like ours, about 80% of my administrative work here is trying to get more Tychicuses and Onesimuses to get involved in ministry. It's leadership development. And by the way, we're reading another application of his connectedness with people. Yeah, that's right. We're reading a book, a letter. He wrote 13 letters in the New Testament, but that's not all the books he wrote. Drop down to the bottom of chapter 4, verse number 16. He says, after this letter has been read to you, Colossians 4:16, see that it's also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. Now, 13 of the books were inspired that were given for all time for the church to benefit from forever, but Paul wrote a lot of other letters because when he puts his heart out and cares for people, you know what? He's got to stay in touch with them. This is a test as to whether you really have extended your heart. And you'll feel with them what they feel, and then you're going to want to contact. You're going to want to be in contact with them. Have you isolated yourself like so many American Christians? Go this afternoon, call your Pac Bell or Cellular One, and up your plan, right? You put a few more people in your heart and start getting involved more in their lives. Get your email cranking. Get people that you're connecting with, that you're sharing. Get involved in their lives. Stay connected. Paul did it all the time. And by the way, the most profound way we've already studied in chapter 1, go there with me real quick, Colossians 1. In his connectedness, not only is he wanting to be with them and being with them whenever he can, not only is he sending people if he can't be there, not only is he writing, and we need to write more and communicate more and call more, but the most profound way, verse 3, what does he say? We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we, what? Pray. Look at verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to do all these great things in your life. Are you tracking here? One of the most profound ways that I stay in touch with people and I say, God, I love those people. I care. I wonder what's going on in their life today. I know they're struggling or I know they're doing well, is I pray. And by the way, you parents, be sure and teach your kids this. I'm working hard because my kids are as self-centered as any kids on the planet. And so I'm trying to show them that things like prayer are not something we use just to get what we want. Matter of fact, every night and in the morning, and my wife has this box on the table with people's names and pictures in it, we try to teach our kids we're praying. We are using this tool called prayer to try and minister to people because we want to care about those people's lives. This weekend, I was praying with my kid both last night and the night before as I was putting my oldest to bed, and I said, we got to pray. And every night what we do is sit down and say, like, if depending on how much time we have, you pick two people, I'll pick two people. You pick five people, I'll pick five people. However much time, when we pray for those people. Now, I do all the praying, and I show him how to pray and all that, but I let him get involved in who are the people we care about today? Who do we want to get in touch with? Who do we want to tell God to touch today? That kind of praying is going to teach my kid that my heart and our heart ought to be out there with people, and when they're bereft from us, when they're separated from us, we're going to pray for them. Paul says he's doing it all the time. When he can't be there, when he's sending people, when he's writing letters, he's praying for them. He's connected. He stays connected. Prayer is a critical, critical way for us. How's your prayer life, by the way? Prayer list? You got one? I know people that are struggling. I can pray right now. God help. I know you're there and I know you care. Do something in their lives. Is that profound? That's amazing. What a privilege we have to extend our efforts and our concern through that medium of prayer. Mark was not the only one that recorded that snapshot of Christ's life when he crossed this lake exhausted, trying to find some relief, and instead his heart of compassion drove him to more ministry. Mark, by the way, is writing his gospel really fast, it seems. There's 16 chapters. Matthew's taken his time with 28 chapters of information. So when Matthew records it in Matthew 9, he adds a little something that Jesus said in that situation that Mark leaves out. What Matthew records in Matthew 9 is that when Jesus felt this compassion and began to teach these people, it says he turned to his disciples and he said, instructive moment, exhausted, doing ministry, exhausted. You know what he said? He said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers, kind of got a shortage on those. And then he follows up with this command. He says to the disciples, so therefore pray And it's not the normal word for pray. It is the word to beg, beseech, sometimes translated, beg the Lord of the harvest. And then he uses a great Greek word, ekbalo, to thrust out workers into the harvest. It's not to send, to thrust them out, to push them into the harvest. That's my prayer for this sermon. The Apostle Paul was throwing himself out into the harvest, and I'm praying that God could take a sermon like this and a few verses from Colossians and have your heart stretch over a few more people. That from God's perspective, he'd see another worker getting thrust out into the work. That you might meet needs, that you might take your unique gift set and might minister because you really care. Jesus, moved by compassion, engaged in ministry, turned to his disciples and said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Pray, beg God to thrust out more workers into the harvest." Let's pray. God, like those in your story who passed on the other side of the road, we've got lots and lots of excuses for not getting involved. We say it, it's not true, but I'm sure many of us say it to ourselves. We're maxed out, we can't do it. It's funny, I'm in the middle, in the throes of this sermon prep. You saw me there, God, and I didn't even catch it. Phone rings, I was like, no way, I can't do that. But God, you know that we have a capacity to love, a capacity to serve. You're gonna meet us with your spirit in the pulpit or in the street or in the counseling room or wherever it might be. And you'll empower us, you'll give us strength, you'll give us wisdom. God, we learned all that last week, but today, help us to do the practical, important, and very tangible step of adding to our heart a few more people. God, oh, if just half the people in this room could start to increase their circle of concern, oh, how our church would change, how things would be different. Oh, God, answer that prayer that in our church there would be more people that are thrust forth into the harvest field. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
More ministry beyond your inner circle. That's the title of our message today from Pastor Mike Fabares here on Focal Point. Well, I don't know about you, but I can hardly believe we're already into the second week of December. And Pastor Mike, we know this is really a busy time of year for most of our listeners, but it's also a crucial time of year for Focal Point. Now, can you explain why that is?
Yeah, Dave, a lot of people may not realize this, but some 30% of our annual budget comes through year-end giving. I know that's true for a lot of nonprofit ministries, but if you're listening, you need to know that that contribution at the end of the year in this month is critical to help us transition into a new year and continue to broadcast God's word on this station and a lot of others. So at this time of year, it's good to pull back the curtain a little bit and just to let you know that we have an army of volunteers that help run this ministry with only 3 people on staff, and I'm not even one of them. We just got 3 people working hard to make this happen, and all of the donations at this time of year and all throughout the year, they go to pay the production costs and the airtime and all of that. But thankfully, because of you, you have stepped up, you've met the needs, and we're able to continue broadcasting. When you give, we work hard to make that money stretch, and your impact as you give at this time of year is magnified. So just think how much we can accomplish in the new year, things we could never do on our own, and we are excited about what lies ahead. We're ready for you to join with us, and Dave's going to tell you how to get in touch.
Well, thanks, Mike. To give a much-needed year-end donation right now, go to focalpointradio.org and click on the Donate tab. Or call us at 888-320-5885. When you give today, we'll express our thanks with a substantial and practical book called Evidence for God, 50 Arguments for Faith from the Bible, History, Philosophy, and Science. With contributions from 17 leading scholars and apologists, this book will equip you with compelling answers to questions such as, is today's Bible what was originally written? Is Jesus really the only way to God? And what about recently publicized gospels that aren't in the Bible? And so much more. Mention the book Evidence for God when you give by calling 888-320-5885 or go to focalpointradio.org. If you prefer to mail your gift, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. Well, I'm Dave Drewy. So glad to have you with us. And be sure to come back Thursday for a new series about spiritual detours here on Focal Point.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's word moving in your heart right now?
drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.
Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.